Well, I'll tell you what, turn to Hebrews 4. That's where we'll start. We're going through the church today. We're calling it the church in today's culture. And we're seeing how the local church is to minister today. We're looking briefly at some various aspects of the local body. I've got an outline put up for you in just a second. We understand that if we're going to touch lives in this world, in this community today, we've got to understand what the culture is like, and we've got to understand how we do it. And there are really two words that sort of people use a lot. One word is function, the other is form. Function is what the church is to do. Form is how the church does it. Let me tell you, the function never changes. To make disciples, to touch lives, to help people come to know Christ and to grow in the grace and knowledge. But the forms may change. Music changes, how we do things, the meetings change, all those kind of things change. But what we do does not change. And so as we're looking at this study, we want to think about both of these aspects. We think about the people, the plan, the process. And as we continue this morning, we've been looking at the foundation for doing the ministry. And then we're going to see some of the problems and some of the solutions, you might say, as we think about what we're to do. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for a great morning. Thank you for this class. And Lord, I just count it as a great joy and privilege to get to teach this class. Thank you for each one who comes. But we have a great time, Lord, as we study, as we think about the church today, as we think about the church and the culture and what we're supposed to do and all of that. So, Lord, we just ask you that you would teach us now, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, and we'd be excited about what you have for us to do as a local body and individually. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to know, almost weekly, I receive either by mail or email information telling me how we can do ministry in the 21st century. It's always something, you know, there's books, there's programs, there's magazines, there's studies, there's secrets. It's always the secret. You know, it's a secret. I don't know why it's a secret, but it's a secret. It's a secret to minister to today's culture. One thing that I find in every one of them, something that's missing in every one of them, and that is the Word of God. They always got this plan and a method, but it never centers around the truth of God's Word. As we continue this morning, we're going to look at the foundation for ministering to believers, regardless of the culture and the world, as we in what we do. Let's begin. Remember the goal of this study, that as believers in a local church, we want to see the challenges and the solutions to reaching people for Jesus Christ in our community and our culture. Here's the outline. We're going to, on the slides, we're going to go through them very quickly this morning. Here's our outline. We started by talking about the church as the people, the body of Christ. Then we talked about the church, the plan, the Matthew 28, to make disciples. Then we looked at the process of attracting, enlisting, and connecting and training. That's the key. Then the fourth thing is, and we're actually in part three. We're going to finish that this morning and get into part four, which is the church, the problems. We have a culture that is a consumer culture in our community. We'll see that. And then the last thing is the proposal, which is the gathered and scattered. And you've heard me talk about this. If you've ever been to membership training, we talk a little bit about being gathered and scattered and what we do. But that's sort of the outline for our study. We started with, I think the next slide just says the church. And this is what we started with. Which is the people. Ephesians 1, the body of Christ. And we talked about the fact that when a person believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, they're placed in the body of Christ. That's the universal body of Christ. But then we meet together in smaller groups, which we call local churches. Then the second thing we saw was the plan. And that we started with Ephesians 4:12, where the believers are to equip the saints, do the work of the ministry, build up the body of Christ. But it goes back to the overall thing. I think the next one is the Matthew. The Matthew 28:18-20 says, make disciples. We make disciples as we go, as we baptize, as we teach. That's the key. As we're going, baptizing, teaching, we lead people to Christ, go where they are, lead them to Christ, and then connect them with the body of Christ, and then we teach them to obey the things which He have taught us. There are two aspects of that. That's evangelism and training. Evangelism is being ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us because we're ambassadors for Christ, 1 Peter 3, 2 Corinthians 5, and then we're to train. We're to take the gifts, talents, and abilities we have, equip the saints to do the ministry, 2 Timothy 2:2, as we want to be taught and then teach faithful people. That's the plan that we've been seeing and how all that fits together. Then the third thing that we looked at was the church and the process. And we said four things. We wanted to attract people, enlist people, connect people, and train them. Before we change it, attracting them, we talked for a good bit one morning about making sure that the church was attractive and that the people and the ministries and all the things that we wanted to be able to bring people in. And then we talked about connecting them or enlisting them in the body, connecting them in the body, and then training them. And I think if you go to the next one, the training, we talked about a number of ways. Isn't there another slide? Is there another one? There it is. And then I think there are about five or six things on here. First of all, we wanted people to understand that we have 4:12, which is based off Ephesians 4:12, which are small group Bible studies. We start with the 4:12 foundations, and then we've got others. And then the second thing was, I think, the 2:2, which is that theological, great, great studies. I mean, it's a little bit deeper than the 4:12. And if a person wants to be a teacher or wants to have that kind of opportunity, you can take it. We've had, in the last 5 or 6 years, I know we've had 500 to 600 to 700 people go through the 2:2 over a period of time. So it's a lot of great stuff there. Then the third aspect I think we put was the Bible Institute, where you can take different courses and continue to grow. The fourth thing was the leadership training, that there are guys that on Wednesday mornings and Thursday mornings we get together and we talk about leadership and ministry. And it's for guys who are saying, look, I'm interested in maybe someday, or if I'm not already, but someday being in a leadership position in a church, we talk about that. And then the fifth thing I think was the small Sunday school and other studies, where small group studies, whether it's the women's ministry or the middle school, junior high school ministry, or the collegiate ministry, or just men and women, just everything, all different kind of studies, and of course Sunday school. And then I think the last thing that we talked about was the internship program that we have, a 3-year program for people, and sometimes it's a 3-year program, which we've got some guys in now. Sometimes it's just for a summer. Sometimes we do other things. And so we've got all kind of ways that our goal is to help people get connected. Then last week, we kept going and we talked about the whole idea of the foundation. And there were three big aspects. If we're going to minister to people and train them in this world, the foundation is the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, which would say the power of God, and then the worship of God. Last week, and I think, do we have like a 1 and a 2 and a 3 on all that? I think we do. Go to the next slide. I think there's the Word of God. We talked about last week the Word of God, and we said it is the foundation. You can do everything else and not have the Word of God, and you're missing out. We all know people will say stuff like, you know, I went to this church and the people were so friendly and they had a lot of good programs and everything, but the Bible was never taught. See, if you don't have the foundation of the Word of God, you don't have it. It's through this. It's the key. It's how we grow. Let me tell you, in a church, it's not the personalities of the pastor. It's not the great programs that make the difference. It is the Word of God. Hebrews 4, and that's why I told you to turn there. 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword." It is. It's alive and powerful. It goes right to the division of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Let me tell you, the Word of God goes right to the heart of the issue. It's the key. And that's why what is so great about the Bible, let me tell you, what is so great about the Bible is if you get to teach the Bible, you don't have to worry of whether you're funny or sharp or smart or handsome or tall or anything. You don't have to worry about any of that. All you do is teach people clearly the Word of God. It is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Isaiah 55:11 says it never comes back void, but accomplishes the purpose that God has. So when you teach the Word of God, it goes right out, touches people's lives just where God wants to touch them, and never comes back void. The third thing about the Word of God is profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. That's 2 Timothy 3:16-17, so that you can mature and grow. We talked about this last week. That's why I'm going so quickly through it. But that's the idea, that the Bible is the key. One of the things that I love about this church, I came here, as you know, 20 years ago. In July, it'll be exactly 20 years. And when we came, there were a very small number of people. But the emphasis of those people, those 3 or 4 families, those 11 to 20 people that were actually in the church, their emphasis, their dream, their goal was, we want the Bible taught. We are tired of stories. We're tired of one verse and then stuff that just kind of circles it but never comes in. We want to know the Scripture. And so that's what I wanted to do. So it was a good match when I came. It was a good match. And I hope it's still a good match. But anyway, it was a good match then. And that's the key, the Word of God. The second thing is, I think, the power of God, which is the Holy Spirit, the power to serve. The foundation, if we're going to do ministry, is you can never do it in your own power. The ability and power to serve God comes from the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through the one who strengthens me." But John 15:5 says, "Apart from him, I can do absolutely nothing." So if you say, "I want to serve Jesus Christ," and we saw it today in the life of Saul in the first service when we looked at Saul. Saul is a man of the flesh, and Saul can't serve God because he's in disobedience to God. And if we're going to serve God, it's the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And that's why the Bible says, "Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh, contrary one to another." Galatians 5:16-17. There's a battle inside of us. But we have the power to serve God. And sometimes we don't think about that. Sometimes we wake up in the morning and we go, I don't know how I'm going to make it through the day. You know how you can make it through the day? You got God in you. I don't know how I'm going to obey the Bible. Yes, you do. You got the power of God inside you to obey the Word of God. I don't know how I'd ever be able to witness to anybody. Yes, you can, because you've got the power of God inside you. It is the Word of God and the Spirit of God that's going to touch lives. Just remember that. And so to do ministry, it must be done in God's power through us. It cannot be done any other way. That takes us to the third thing, and that's the worship of God, which is the focus of ministry, the worship of God. Hebrews 10:25 says, seek not to forsake this assembling of ourselves. He says, don't stop gathering together. When we gather on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or a Sunday school or a Tuesday night thing or a Wednesday morning thing or anything, you're really gathering together for a twofold purpose, I think, and that is to worship God and to be trained and equipped. Then we're going to see it a little bit later when we get to the last part of our study. We'll talk about that. But we meet together to worship Jesus Christ. I don't know about y'all, did you really get into that song? It's so easy to not get into any songs, isn't it? You can sing them without even thinking about it, right? Because you know the words. I mean, actually, they're up there. You don't even have to know the words. You just can read it. And sometimes I do that. Sometimes I'm thinking of something else while I'm singing the song. That isn't the way it's supposed to be. We've come together to worship Jesus Christ, and we worship Him through the Word as we look at who He is and what He's done and what He says and how we're to live and what we're to do. And so the foundation is not only the Word of God, and the foundation is not only the power of God, but the foundation is the worship of God. As we gather together to worship our Savior, we're to focus on Him. I mean, the focus of everything we do ultimately is Jesus Christ. It's not the church. We've talked about it. You don't represent Countryside. You represent Jesus Christ. You don't represent a denomination. You represent Jesus Christ. You're an ambassador for Christ, not an ambassador for Countryside. I mean, it's okay to tell. In fact, we want you to tell people, come here, and we talked about all that and attracted. But you're not representing Countryside. You're representing Christ. And we worship Him. And we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and love our neighbors as ourselves. We love God and we love others. And we love others because we love God. It says, in this is love, not that we love God, but God loved us and sent His Son to be the satisfactory payment for our sins. Then it says, if God so loved us, and He does, then we ought to love one another. And so we love God and love others as we focus on the whole worship. So what have we seen in these weeks? We've seen that the body of Christ, the believers, the people, that's the body. The plan is for us to take our gifts and use our gifts, talents, and abilities to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, to fulfill the Great Commission. We said that there's a process of trying to bring people into the body and connecting them, attracting them to the church, attracting them to the body. And remember that statement, do not forget it, that 93% of all people come to a church because somebody invited them to come. 93%. So if you want somebody to come, just invite them. If we want more people to come, you have to invite them. But what we want to do is, as they're coming, we want to have this facility in such a way that is attractive and inviting, and we want to have all the things that we talked about, and we want to then bring them in and connect them and get them involved and using their gifts, talents, and abilities, and then we want to train them and all those things that we had listed, all the ways that we can train them. That takes us to the next area, and I want to talk about that. And we may, I don't know how far we'll get on this. And if you got, by the way, any questions or comments or input on any of this that we've talked about up to this time, don't hesitate to just say, well, what about this? Or, anything? Okay, let's talk about the culture for a second. I think this is the next one in it, is number, this is the church, I call it the problems. And what I mean by the problems is that there's two aspects. I think it's the culture and the community. The culture is what's out there, and the community is what I want to call is the lack of community, okay? So we're in a culture community that thinks actually the opposite of what the Bible teaches. I mean, just turn on the television and you can see what people think is right and wrong, and you're going, that's ridiculous. Who's watching this? Why am I watching this? You know, and that's what you say, right? That's our culture. But then there is no real community. That's why the body of Christ can add something in people's lives that they're missing. They just don't know they're missing it. They don't understand they really need each other. There are a lot of people who actually think that they go through life and they do their own thing. You can't go through life doing your own thing. You weren't made to do your own thing. You're made to do God's thing in a community of believers. And so let's think about it. The culture, first of all, as a whole. Our culture is a me first. Our culture is me first. You deserve a break today. right? I deserve it. I deserve it. That's how we think. I deserve it. What's best for me? What is best for me? In fact, we say, life is short. Enjoy life. I deserve it. We have what we call the consumer church. And our society, needs count more than loyalty. Let me say that. In our culture, needs count more than loyalty. People are not loyal to their companies they work for. They're not loyal to places they go. They're not loyal to church. They're not loyal to anything because whatever their needs take first precedent. And if you need this, it doesn't matter what anybody else has done. It's just, what do I need now? If people go to a church and their needs are unmet, they quickly switch to another church. Just like, well, I don't like your music. I don't like, you know, they turn those lights down. I don't like that. I don't like the coffee. I don't like this. I don't like the nursery. I don't like the parking lot. I don't like that little cart that fix you up, blow my hair. You know, I don't like all that, you know. So we people, and so if I don't like this, if I, you know, or where you got to have something for me. And if it's not for me, I'll find something that does. In the same way that you go to a store and if they don't have what you want, you just go somewhere else. There's no obligation to any institution. Here's something I found that I just want you to listen to this. Think about Christianity in America. The concept of self-denial and self-restraint are no longer seen as virtues. Rights and opportunities are highly regarded. There was a time that self-sacrifice, which is the concept of living for Jesus Christ. I mean, think about it. The concept for salvation is a gift. But the concept for service is self-sacrifice. That you say to God, I give you my life. I offer my life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is spiritual service, worship. I'm not going to be conformed to the world, but I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. That's the concept of the Bible, that as believers, we're to be disciples. To be disciples means we follow Jesus. To follow Jesus means we take up our cross and die to ourselves. So the whole concept of Christianity as believers is sacrifice. And yet we live in a culture that says, oh, no, wait a minute, what's best for you, not what's best for somebody else. Everything that we run into is contrary to what we're supposed to do. And so we live in that culture. I got this quote I found. The guy's book is called The Empty Church. His name is Thomas Reeves. And he says, here's Christianity in modern America. He says it tends to be easy, upbeat, convenient, and compatible. It does not require self-sacrifice or discipline or humility. It does not desire a zeal for souls, a fear as well as love for God. It does not require that. I mean, it's got to be convenient. It's got to be upbeat. It's got to... What time do y'all meet? I don't think I like that time. Can I find one that meets later? Because, see, I don't like to get up that... I don't like that. You know, it's got to be convenient. It does not require self-sacrifice or discipline. He says, there is little guilt and no punishment. He says, we might now be called and best labeled the consumer Christianity. And that's from his book, The Empty Church. I think in some places it's that bad. Some places it's not. Our culture pushes us. I believe there are a lot of people who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. I hope everybody. If it costs nothing to become a believer, it costs nothing. You believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. It's a gift. It's by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift to God. I believe there are many people who believed in Jesus Christ. I wish, if I said, and I don't want you to do that, if I said, I hope everybody in this room who's trusted in Christ, raise your hand. Everybody should raise their hand. But the concept of living for Jesus Christ and being a disciple, there's not that many people who choose to say, I want to give my life in service for Christ. There's a misconception because most people, if you think, I'm going to give my life in service for Christ, I'm going to be a missionary, or I got to do this, or I got to be in full-time ministry, you realize that every believer is to be at the point where they say, I want my life to count for Christ. Wherever I am, wherever you got me, whatever you want me to do, I want my life to count for you. And the truth is, very few, I don't think a whole lot of Christians are disciples. Because you take up your cross and you die to yourself and you live for Christ. And we live in a culture that says, don't do that. Look out for yourself. I mean, you deserve this. What do you mean give up and die to yourself? You've got your own dreams and goals and plans and things you want to do. It just shows you how bad we are because we are saying, so we don't understand the next second of our life. And we decide we want to run our life when God, who created us and knows the end from the beginning, we don't want him to run it. And we ought to say, whatever you want, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do. You ever thought about starting each day when you get up and maybe you go like this to get to the shower because you're still not awake, and then you finally get in there and the water hits you, and then why don't you say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another day. I give you my life today for your service, whatever you want me to do. Wherever you want me to go, use me, Lord. I mean, use me to touch lives for you. And if you want to, give me an opportunity. And if I see that, let me tell somebody about Jesus. And in my life, in my relationships, I want to bring glory to you. So I give you my life today. You ever do that? How much different do you think your life would be if you saw every day as an opportunity to live for Christ and to touch lives for Christ? But we live in a culture that's the opposite. Listen to this. Americans treat every commitment from marriage to work to politics not as moral obligations, but instruments of personal happiness. See, we look at marriage, and if it doesn't make me happy, I leave. If I don't like my work, I leave. If I don't like the politics, I don't. Moral obligation, no. See, we look at everything like if it makes me happy, that's fine. If it doesn't make me happy, I quit. And that's what's wrong. Because not everything's going to be happy. Not everything's going to be easy. Not everything's going to be good. Philippians 1, he says, you're not only called to believe in the name of Jesus Christ, but to suffer for His sake. In America, we're not supposed to suffer. We're the richest people in the world. What are we going to suffer for? Now, maybe somebody in another part of the world is going to suffer, but we're not going to suffer. So the first thing is we got a culture that's pushing us. A culture that tells us that we shouldn't sacrifice anything. Then there's a second aspect, is that's the community. And when I say the community, there is no community. People don't come together in bodies based on common doctrine or beliefs. Now they used to. And there are people in this church that do. There are people who say, I come to Countryside because I believe in the Bible. I believe salvation is a gift. It's by grace through faith. I believe how we interpret the scripture. I believe that there are many. But in most of the time, in most churches around, people come together based around programs or ministries, not doctrine. There are people that believe, have been in this church, and go to another church that teaches the opposite and says to me, I don't see any difference. I say, have you listened to the message? Well, yeah, but that's not that big a deal. I had a family leave one time, said they were going to switch to a different church. And they were real nice. And I was talking to them, and they said, I said, well, now, is that church where they teach the Bible? Well, no. We knew we were going to have to give up something when we left. I said, so you're going to give up the teaching of the Word? Well, yeah, because these people make us feel really nice. That's what he told me. We have no community that's connected on shared beliefs. We should. And I think we're unique in some aspects of that. There are people who connect with our church because of what we believe. There are people who connect with our church because you invited them. And eventually they look at it and go, you know, I do believe that. I'm glad I believe. I believe that. I see that. But we live in a world that doesn't connect that way. So how do we deal with this? Now, that was First Bell, wasn't it, already? So we got a few more minutes. Let's take to the last part, and we'll finish this next time. The proposal. What do we do? And we've already seen all the stuff, and we've talked about being friendly and inviting people in the facilities and training and loving and all that. I think that my proposal is what we call gathered and scattered. That we gather together for worship and training, and we scatter for evangelism and service, and we want to talk about how we do that. We'll get into more details on that. But I think there's a misconception in our churches today. We gather together this morning to worship Jesus Christ, to be taught the Bible, it's 1 Samuel 15, to be taught truths and principles. We see the story because it's narrative literature, but we see it, and then we say, now what are the truths from there we can apply in our lives right now? So we gather together to worship Jesus and to be equipped and trained to serve Him. Then we scatter. When the second bell rings, pew, we're going. Right? And where are we going? We're going all over this community. For what purpose? Evangelism and training. To go and take the message of Jesus Christ to those that we come in contact with all the time. I talk to people about sharing their faith, and they're afraid because all their lives they've heard that you're supposed to go up to people you don't even know and knock on their door and say, I'm from a church and I'm going to tell you about something. You want to take this track? You know, and that's what they think they're supposed to do, and they're afraid. No, your evangelism is done with the people you come in contact with all the time. You're building relationships and you're getting an opportunity to tell them what you believe. And we're going to talk about that next time, the evangelism and then the service, and we'll see how that fits. So next week we'll finish this study because we'll get the gathered and scattered. We'll go through it pretty quickly and we'll get input. Please give me your input. That was the second bell, wasn't it? Am I right? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to make an impact for you as we think about our church and we think about the body of Christ and the ministries that you've given us, and that is to make disciples, evangelism and training. And we think about all the ways of trying to attract people and then connecting them and enlisting them in and connecting within the body and then training them and all the different ways to train. But Lord, we realize that we're in a culture that is different than ever been before. And with each culture and each cultural change, we do not change our function, but we may change our forms. We may change how we do it, but we never change what we do. And so, Lord, we ask you to give us wisdom as we think about a world that thinks of itself and that it does not have a community to connect with, that you would use us as we gather and scatter to bring people to Jesus Christ and then train them and equip them to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ and to do the same thing. So, Lord, we just ask you to help us make an impact even as we scatter now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.